This is the WRIF Postgame Podcast. You're listening to The Squad with Ann Erickson.
People are going insane over the Detroit Lions win, and I don't blame them. I mean, the Lions just won the second game of the regular NFL season, and people are just going nuts. Being a lifelong Lions fan, do you know how many times I've watched our team winning only to lose at the end of the game in some unbelievable way that only the Lions could do? You get it, because you are also a Lions fan. I was in disbelief. I mean, I know we were favored going into the game against Washington, but that meant nothing to me. And then 22-0 going into halftime. Then, of course, Washington kind of crept back on us. It looked like we might actually lose, but we did it. We pulled off a win. Waking up this morning, I had to check again. It almost felt like a dream. I was like, I have to check again and make sure that we won. And we did. Even after watching the whole game, I almost did not believe it, because, hey, that's what being a Lions fan is. Sometimes it just does seem too good to be true if we pulled off a win. But I'm very excited to have just an awesome guest on the show, Jeremy Reisman, the Detroit Lions beat writer and producer at Pride of Detroit. Jeremy's a cool dude, very funny if you check him out on Twitter. And we're going to talk about the game, yesterday's game against Washington, what's on the way against the Vikings, and just in general, the state of the Lions and what is different this year. All right, on the squad right now, Jeremy from Pride of Detroit. Cool. Well, Jeremy, the Lions won. I mean, it's crazy after not winning last season until the very, end of the season. What does this feel like to you?
It's a weight off the shoulders, I think. Like you said, waiting until late November to get that first win, it felt like the pressure kept mounting and mounting and mounting. And, this team doesn't win a lot of games in September. And so kind of to get that weight off the shoulders early in the season. And, I feel like Lions fans were pretty down going into this game, right? Because the injuries were mounting up. They have kind of a letdown game in week one where the offense was really good, but the defense looked like it didn't make any progress. And then they come out this game and play one of the best halves of football, I don't know, maybe ever in this franchise, where they just lay it on Washington hard, and suddenly you see, like, okay, you can see where this is starting to come together. They have playmakers on both sides of the ball, and so I think it was a huge relief, first of all, and then also just like, okay, if they can kind of continue performing like they did, at least in the first half, and even some in the second half, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it might not be a freight train coming. So, I feel pretty darn good this Monday morning about the direction of where the franchise is headed.
Yeah, and you mentioned kind of a weight being lifted. I think that's a great way to put it, because I saw that we were actually kind of favored going into the game, but it didn't matter to me, because I thought, we can be favored and still lose. It happens all the time.
Yeah. This team in the past has not dealt well with high expectations, and so this is the first time in almost two calendar years that they've been favored in a game, and the Lions have actually been fantastic against the spread in general, but mostly as underdogs. So it's nice to see them kind of be on the other side of that, where high expectations and they meet it and probably exceed, I think, most expectations for this week.
Right. And do you think that, you kind of already touched on this, but do you think that this finally, might be a different Lions than we've seen the past few years and even decades?
Oh, man, it's a hard thing to say so early in the season, because, I mean, the key to being a really good team in this league is consistency. A lot of teams can have one really good week and put it together, maybe even, a couple or three straight weeks of good performances. But if you want to be a really, really good team in this league, it's all about consistency. So I'm not ready to crown anything yet, but there are a lot of things that, we're seeing of this team right now that we haven't seen in the past. A lot of people throw around that stat that going back to last year, this is now three straight games where they scored 35 or more points, and the last time they did that was in the 50s. And anytime you're comparing a contemporary Lions team to a 1950s team when the Lions were actually, like, really, really good, well, that has to get you at least a little bit excited. Defensively, I think there's still a lot of questions that they have to answer for. Obviously, with not a great performance in week one and then kind of slipping back to old tendencies in week two, they're going to need to be a lot better for me to kind of crown this as a especially unique team. But offensively speaking, there's a lot of things to be really excited about and a lot of good performances from young players, which I think is key to this team's future.
Do you think being on Hard Knocks had any kind of help for them with the mental game, just kind of having so many people behind them after watching them on that series?
for sure. Like, I think Ford Field has been electric in the first 2 weeks of the season, and I do think Hard Knocks has a big part in that because it drummed up a lot of excitement. I mean, I'm still just kind of in awe of how much of a sensation a guy like Malcolm Rodriguez has been, and who knows how big it would be if it weren't for Hard Knocks. You know, he's earning it on the field. Let's be clear. Like, he's playing at a phenomenal level, and it's just an amazing story. But kind of getting to know him, the background of him, and just having that buildup of excitement throughout Hard Knocks has made the city fall in love with him. And you can hear it every single time he makes a play out there and his name is announced on the PA over Ford Field. You hear that extra cheer, that extra crowd noise. And, you know, I don't think the Lions have been able to keep up on jersey sales with the guy, but I suspect by, you know, October, November, that the stands are just going to be filled with number 44 jerseys. And I think Hard Knocks, again, has had a big part in that.
Yeah, you know, it's also funny. I have some friends, you know, from all over America, and they're all talking about Dan Campbell from watching the show. They're like, you know, the Lions have a really unique coach in Dan Campbell, and I don't even think they knew his name last season.
Right. Yeah, no, he was obviously the star of Hard Knocks, and really, I feel like people here in Detroit have been kind of trying to telegraph this to people after that, you know, first season. The team goes 3-13-1, and locally, there couldn't have been more confidence in Dan Campbell going into this year. And part of that is because of how they finished. Part of that is because Dan Campbell's a super likable guy. Part of that is that he kept this team spirits high despite, you know, the 0-10-1 start last year. And really, if you go back to his days in Miami, the signs were always there. Miami fans, Miami, you know, players, they all wanted Dan Campbell to be their head coach when he took over as an interim. And you know, I think Miami only went 3-8 or something with Dan Campbell as their head coach. But the players there knew he was something special. And it goes just beyond, I think, that personality, too. Like, yeah, he's super likable. Yeah, he's his authentic self, even when it's a little silly sometimes. And you know, it results in some weird quotes maybe here or there. But I think he earned a lot of Lions fans' respect when he took over the play calling last year, and because that showed a different side of him. That showed the X's and O's part of him that I think doesn't get as much credit as it should sometimes, that he recognized something on offense wasn't working. He wanted to try his hand on it, and it improved last year, and that's carrying over into this year. So Dan Campbell has been, you know, the rightful face of this franchise right now, and you know, it certainly seems like another reason to be optimistic about the potential of this franchise.
Yeah, I feel like the players want to do well for him, which says a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's there's so many interesting quotes that you hear from some of these players, and I think, you know, last night's little moment with Dan Skipper is a great example of who Dan Campbell is as a person and how it resonates throughout the locker room there. You know, Skipper in his first start in 6 years where he's just been cut over and over and over again. It's obviously a huge moment for him. He goes out and plays a really, really good game at a position that he's not used to playing. And Dan Campbell made sure that everyone in that locker room knew how much he appreciated his effort. And that sort of stuff is infectious. You hear the rest of the locker room chanting Skipper's name. And but some of the interesting things I hear from the players specifically, I thought one of the most fascinating parts of Hard Knocks was when some of these players are getting cut. And it's, you know, it's a really down moment in their career. They have every right to be upset and maybe even mad at some of the Lions coaching staff for cutting him. And they're thanking him. And they're saying, you don't know the kind of impact you're having here in Detroit on me in the locker room. You guys are creating something special here. And to me, that's just fascinating to see in a moment where these players are at their lowest, and their initial reaction is to thank the coaching staff. That, to me, shows how healthy of an environment, how healthy of a culture Dan Campbell's is building here.
Makes you proud to be a Lion, and we haven't had too many reasons to be proud the past few years, so it's a good feeling. Who do you think were the most valuable players in yesterday's game against Washington?
Well, the good news is that there's a lot of candidates, right?
Yeah.
That alone is a positive sign, but I mean, you have to point to Amon-Ra, right? Like, that guy is just such an electric weapon with the ball in his hands. He's a guy that plays so hard on every single down, and the fact that he's not just a weapon, you know, as a receiver now, he led the team in rushing yards thanks to that really well-designed end around that that they drew up for him. And I mean, it's hard not to point to DeAndre Swift too, right? Yeah, he only has, I think, 7 touches in this game, but one of them goes for a 21-yard touchdown on a great effort play from him where he falls down and somehow manages to outrun everyone else on the Washington defense while he's climbing to his feet. And then he takes a 50-yard run early in this game. And so offensively speaking, it's those guys. You have to mention Aiden Hutchinson and his 3 sacks in the first half of the game. Not to mention he had 2 tackles for loss in the run game too. So, you know, it's the right guys that are standing out too, right? The guys that they've invested a lot in, with, you know, Swift being a 2nd-round pick, Amara being a 4th-round pick, and obviously Aiden being the 2nd overall pick. These are the guys that you want and expect to lead this team in moments of need, and they did. So that's a highly promising sign for this team.
There's been a lot of buzz about Hutchinson, of course. So do you think that he's been a huge addition to the team this year? Do you think it's worth all the hype?
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, some of those he was helped out by his teammates. You know, they call them cleanup sacks. Some of them were him. But it's not just that the Lions have an extra dimension in the pass rush. It's not just that he's going to start drawing double teams, which will free up other guys. But it's a mentality thing too, right? And you heard it all during the draft process. You hear it from Dan Campbell just about every week. I think part of the reason Aiden Hutchinson was so successful is because he's such a relentless player that never gives up on the play. I think, you know, he may not have had a sack in the second half, but it was a pretty gutsy performance playing on what looked like one leg. You know, he was very much favoring that leg in the second half, and he was still being disruptive. He was still getting Carson Wentz on the move. And so that sort of stuff, again, it's leading by example. It's infectious for the rest of the team, and it's going to raise everyone else's level of effort. And so, yeah, I think Hutchinson is definitely going to be worth the hype. And I mean, 3 sacks in 1 half speaks loudly enough, I think, for that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And what are your thoughts on Jared Goff? Because people have such different takes on him and whether he is our guy or just temporarily our guy.
It's going to be a conversation I think we have after every single game, and it's not an easy question to answer right now, because you look at him statistically and he's having a fantastic year. You look a little bit closer and it's hard not to say he's left a lot of points out there too, and I know that sounds crazy for a team that's had 35 points in back-to-back games, but the Lions probably should have had 35 points in the first half of that game, and Goff missed out on a couple of opportunities. Now, I think he deserves a ton of credit for the second half, though, because when, you know, the run game started to slow a little bit, when the defense started to allow some points there, the game was in Jared Goff's hand. And I point to that 4th quarter drive where he went 4 for 4 for about 50 yards and a touchdown. Just about every single one of those passes was perfect from him. And listen, if you have a couple of bad throws in the first half, but when the team really needs you, you step it up in the 4th quarter, I'll take that kind of performance. And I think the whole whether he's going to be the quarterback of the future, that conversation, maybe we'll kick that one down the line for a little bit. He has a lot still to prove with 15 games left on the schedule. But I would say this was a step in the right direction for Jared Goff. But I still remain a little bit skeptical whether he's going to be the guy.
You know, it's funny, just something that doesn't really have to do with his performance on the field or athleticism is that he doesn't seem to have the kind of larger-than-life personality that some of these, like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger, you know, like these guys have these larger-than-life personalities. And he's very just kind of unassuming in there, which, again, doesn't really have much to do with his performance on the field. But sometimes I just wish he had a little more of like a, I don't know, eccentric personality or something.
Yeah, no, I get that. And honestly, like, that was something a lot of people said to Matthew Stafford too, where like he needs to be, you know, he needs to yell at the players more. He needs to be more ecstatic or, you know, more apparent on social media and stuff. But I think it's actually kind of an admirable trait to have for both those guys to just kind of like hang out in the background a little bit and not be the focus of attention. And, you know, there's definitely, you know, pluses and minuses for doing that. Like, I think being a vocal leader, being a guy that takes charge, is obviously something you want in your quarterback. And I'm not saying Jared Goff isn't that guy, because I think he is kind of more behind the scenes, but he doesn't like crave that national attention, I don't think. And I think part of that is like he's been humbled in his young career, right? He starts off really hot, gets to a Pro Bowl, gets to a Super Bowl, and then you get traded, you know, a year or two later after that, and you go through a rough season here in year one. And like you said, like there are a lot of Lions fans that, despite him playing fairly well over the last few games of last season and early here, they dismiss him. And so I think he's kind of taken the attitude of, okay, I'm just going to put my head down and grind and not talk and make my play do the talking for me. And so far, so good, really.
Yeah, I know. That's a good point. And next up, we have we're up against the Vikings, which I don't know if you saw that Vikings game against Green Bay, but I was shocked.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it, but yeah, it was certainly a statement game for them, and we'll see how they do tonight against the Eagles. I think that'll be a nice litmus test, right, since the Lions face the Eagles in Week 1. But yeah, I think they're a good team. I think they're kind of taking on a new offensive identity. They've been known as the kind of this run-first, gritty attitude thing, but now they're kind of more embracing, I think, the pass game and the weapons they have there. And that's going to be a big test for the Lions, because I think the Lions secondary is still something that we're not too sure about. And defensively, they're getting better. So it's a new-look Vikings team, and you know, they're legitimate contenders for the division at this point. So, and it'll be the first Lions road game, which is in and of itself its own test. But I think maybe dealing with some higher expectations again. We'll see how they do. I know they're big underdogs according to Vegas, but I think locally people are going to expect this team to compete with the Vikings, and they're going to be a legitimate test.
Yeah, I feel like Kirk Cousins has been that guy who kind of like Stafford. I mean, he's a very good quarterback, but he hasn't had a good team around him. And it seems like this year with the new coaching staff and everything, I don't know, it seems like maybe things are coming together for them.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, Cousins statistically has been a top 10 quarterback for like 5-10 years almost in Minnesota. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't come together in Minnesota. And part of it is on Cousins. I think it's a fair assessment to say sometimes in the bigger moments of the season, whether it's nationally televised games or, you know, a fourth quarter drive that they need, he hasn't necessarily stood up and been the best. But that passing offense has been consistently good for a really long time. And now with Kevin O'Connell there coming from the Rams, I think that adds a whole new dimension to it that's going to be really tough for the Lions to defend, especially with a beat-up secondary against maybe the best 1-2 punch of receivers in the league. Jefferson and Thielen. So big test for them, and I'm intrigued to see how the Lions respond.
Yeah, I know. I cannot wait to watch. So tell me a bit about Pride of Detroit, your Twitch page and stuff. I was watching last night. It was very fun.
Yeah, appreciate that. Pride Detroit, we're a fan blog that's part of the SB Nation group. We write as Lions fans. We don't hide away from that. We revel in the excitement of good seasons and you know, we're right there with you all with the pain of losses and stuff like that. But we're also like a very professional site. We're credentialed by the Lions, so we're there in the press box. I'm there for every practice. So we try to be as balanced as we can while also not shying away from the emotions of this Lions team. And then, yeah, our Twitch page. Sorry about that.
I love it.
Our Twitch page is where we record our live podcast. It's a nice kind of interactive environment where you can watch us live like you would on YouTube, so to speak, where we answer questions, we do fun podcasts. I do a Madden simulation every Saturday of the upcoming game to just see how Madden thinks the game is going to play out. A lot of fun stuff on that page. So twitch.tv/PrideOfDetroit is where you can find us there. And then all of our written content is on prideofdetroit.com.
Cool. I heard on your little promo there that you actually played video games with Lions players on Twitch. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Graham Glasgow, a former Lion at this point. We played some Fortnite with him back in the day, and I'm looking to do it again with some Lions players. I just have to figure out who the gamers are in this group. But yeah, like, we like to do that and just kind of meet the Lions players in a completely different environment.
Yeah, I know. That's super fun. I just got on Steam, the gaming platform. I've never been on it, you know, and I love it.
Yeah, it's fun. And listen, like, a lot of athletes these days plays a lot of video games, and so I think it's a unique way to reach out to them and kind of interact with them where I think they're a little bit more comfortable than maybe if they're, you know, in a locker room surrounded by a bunch of microphones or up in front of a podium. You kind of get them at their more relaxed, more authentic selves. So, yeah, we're definitely going to try to build on that.
For sure. And then I'm just curious, what other NFL teams out there do you think we should have our eyes on this year?
Ooh, good question. And sometimes it feels like I have a bit of a narrow scope on the NFL because I'm, you know, so focused on the Lions, but you mentioned Minnesota. I mean, at this point, I think we have to pay attention to the Dolphins too. I mean, heck of a comeback for them on Sunday, and Tua, and you know, it seems like their offense is starting to really put it together. And I think that AFC East division is wide open with the Patriots kind of coming out slow this year. I mean, that entire AFC in general, like that. I know the Bills are really good, obviously. Nice bounce back game for them, and I just feel like everyone in the AFC West is really good. The Chiefs are really good. Maybe not the Broncos, but the Chargers, I know they lost that Thursday night game, but I think they were overall the better team against the Chiefs. So I really think it's an AFC-heavy league this year, which, you know, to make it a Lions story, like, I think that provides them a small opportunity to sneak into the playoffs, because I don't think it's a very deep NFC conference this year. So, if you want to watch good football, I would suggest watching as much AFC football as possible.
Yeah, that's funny. I saw this stat. A listener commented on one of our stories, and he said that yesterday was the first time the Jets, Jaguars, Giants, and Lions all won on the same day in like over 3,000 days.
Wow, yeah. The Giants are interesting, right? Like, it's 2-0, but I just can't buy stock in them yet.
Right. I don't know. I'm curious to see how the Buccaneers do, just because Tom Brady came back, and, you know, it's like, was it worth it for him? And now he's in the news all the time because of Giselle and stuff, and I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like this is definitely going to be his last ride, too. So how much motivation does he draw from that? How much, you know, they seem a little banged up on that team as well, so... Bucks are definitely an intriguing team. I'm sure they're going to want revenge for coming so close last year but falling short.
Well, Jeremy, it's been awesome having you on. Is there anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. I'm just I'm psyched for the season. I know a lot of Lions fans are too. And yeah, I'm hoping they can continue to build off of that performance, because it's, I mean, say what you will about the team and their overall performance through 2 weeks, they've been a lot of fun to watch, and that's all you can really ask for, I think, this early in a rebuilding season.
Definitely. Well, I will be watching every weekend, and we're going to have you back on later in the season, so I look forward to that.
All right. Let's make it after another win, too.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully. Jeremy Reisman, thank you for being an awesome guest on The Squad. And yeah, check back, because he will be back on the show later in the season, which is great because he's awesome. And just a great take on the game yesterday and kind of the state of the Lions and what we can expect going forward. My fingers are crossed. I don't know. I mean, I admit I got really stoked yesterday when we won. Not to the point where I felt like we won the Super Bowl. I'm not that crazy, but I got really excited. Just felt good to finally see a win early in the season. And after last year, it just felt really good. It is great to rock with you. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, what are you waiting for? Do it. Very easy. Just search The Squad with Ann Erickson on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, just wherever you rock out to podcast. Hit subscribe and you will be instantly notified of the next show. We post every Monday and we always talk about the game last weekend, what's coming up, and just the general state of NFL football and the Lions. It's always a fun time, and I would love you to be a subscriber and regularly hang out with me and my buddies on The Squad. You can find me on social media, tweet at me, let me know what you think about the show, about the Lions, general, NFL, just whatever. You can find me on Twitter and Snapchat at Ann Erickson, Instagram and TikTok at Erickson Ann. And you can head to WRAF.com/AnnErickson and you can find my full page up there. All right. Well, have a great week, and we'll be back next Monday to talk the Lions. Ann Erickson on The Squad on The Ref.